This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. In our psychiatry series today, we have Professor Andrew Law, consultant psychiatrist. Today, we're going to be discussing the topic of loneliness. I mean, you may say, you know, I feel lonely at times, but did you realize that loneliness is more than just a feeling? I mean, research shows that loneliness is a health risk and may possibly be a component in psychiatric conditions. Consultant psychiatrist Professor Andrew is here and he will be explaining to us what this is all about. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hello. Fine, thank you.
Professor Andrew, could you define loneliness and how is it distinct from social isolation? I always thought it was the same thing, actually.
Okay. I think I would say loneliness is really more a state of mind, a feeling, whereas social isolation is a phenomenon of an individual being separated from other things or other people.
And could you give me examples, please?
For example, you can say that you're under social isolation when you're not with other people, you're on your own, not with your friends, not with your family for an extended period of time. However, that itself doesn't mean that you feel lonely or you're experiencing loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can be in a group and still feel lonely at
exactly.
the same time. Okay.
Yeah.
And how common is loneliness? So
how
this
common?
Idea, this state of mind, that, as you explained, this feeling you know mm-hmm. that we have. Mm-hmm. How common is it?
There are some studies about this, and strangely enough, a number of teenagers, up to 80% of them, they have reported that they end up feeling lonely, whereas elderly people, I think about 50%, that they say that they could feel lonely. So depending on the studies, some report much lower percentage for teenagers, but like I said, some other studies would say that up to 80%.
And that's a very high number.
That's very high.
Is that only just now, or is it because of, you know, the introduction of gadgets and the fact that we're all being more isolated because of technology?
I would say yes, that's probably one contributing factor. And in fact, if you look at people living in less suburban or
outside the city,
yeah, they actually feel less lonely than people who actually live inside big cities.
But then, you know, social structures have always been such. Asians are very community-based. What's happened to us? We all now are living in cities. And that's going to be a phenomenon going forward. Most of us are going to be living in cities. What's happened from the time we've lived outside the cities and then when we come in? Why that shift in the sense of isolation and hence now the loneliness?
Actually, I don't have a good answer to that. No, I can only speculate. And it's probably the way that the change of lifestyle has something to do with it.
Are there factors that lead to loneliness?
I would say there are a number of factors that lead to loneliness. For example, I think some of those are actually related to psychiatric disorders. For example, people who have depression, loneliness could be a symptom. People with certain personality disorders, they might experience loneliness. Other factors, people with not a good self-esteem or low confidence, they tend to experience more loneliness than others. And also, I think people who have been previously isolated, being neglected, bullied, rejected repeatedly, that kind of experiences that could be associated with increased feeling of loneliness.
And what about in the elderly? Are those factors pretty much the same?
Oh, elderly, yes, that's another big area. You know, elderly people, for example, who live with married children, that's one group who might actually feel a lot more lonely than others. Widowed, elderly, people who have physical disabilities, they might be more feeling more lonely than those who are physically active and healthy. And another group would be those people looking after elderly people and or caregivers for patients having chronic illnesses, mm-hmm. such as dementia or cancer or other serious illnesses.
Do we know how loneliness is measured? I mean, let's just take, for an example, depression, as you said.
How do you
measure the loneliness and how bad it really is?
Well, you can look at loneliness from a qualitative aspect,
okay,
I would say. But if you want to be more objective, you can always use scales. And there are a number of scales. NIH has a scale. There's another scale from UCLA. It's kind of like a 20-question scale asking a number of things, a number of statements you have to tell, whether you experience those statements rarely or frequently, and then you get a score to determine how lonely are you.
And do you think that loneliness should be included in the DSM-5?
Personally, no.
That would mean it will be categorized as a psychiatric condition.
Correct.
No. Why not?
Well, I think, honestly, loneliness is, a lot of times, it depends on the extent of the loneliness and whether it's actually persistent. It could be normal. Okay, I'm sure that I feel lonely sometimes, and you probably feel the same way, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean the person is psychiatrically ill. Now, when we start pathologizing these phenomena, I think you perhaps would create unnecessary stigmatization.
That's fair enough. And let's just take depression and loneliness for an example. Mm. I mean, how is it that both affect each other? Which comes first?
Chicken and egg question.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it can go both ways. I have to say a predisposed personality probably comes first, and that could lead to depression or loneliness, and one could affect the other from that point on. So, like I said, certain groups of people are more prone to feeling lonely, and when that sets in, you know, that could drive a depression to occur. And it, when that happens, probably could snowball and runs into a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. And where loneliness is a component of depression, what are the measures to mitigate that?
I would say the simplest thing is to basically treat depression.
And if it's the other way around?
Then I think it's most important to explore why the person feels lonely. What is really the underlying cause? Sometimes I would say that when a person, for example, is feeling that he or she is not a good person, I'm no good. Okay. That's why I'm being rejected all the time. That's why I'm lonely.
It's a self-esteem problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be that. So it's not being around people. It's all about that person. When a person has such a cognitive distortion about himself or herself, that's where we want to try to fix the problem.
You know, you read articles about how you need to be comfortable with yourself. You need to love yourself. And only then are you going to attain happiness. What does that really mean?
I would say it's it's to be content with what you have and also have understanding that the world is not perfect and that there are times that we have to accept certain adversities. If you can handle or if you can actually understand those little things in life, I think you'll be better off that way.
And do you think that this sense of awareness will stem problems like loneliness? If you have that self-awareness of, you know, how the world is not perfect and, you know, to count your blessings, you know, as you mentioned earlier, do you think that might be a way of stemming this problem of loneliness?
It could be.
In that you're comfortable with yourself, mm-hmm, and it's okay, you know, if you are alone.
I think that it's probably a little bit similar to, I was watching a program 2 weeks ago, you know, how people would do these surgeries to attain the figures or heights that they want to have, despite the pain and all the trouble that they have to go through. In fact, you know, when I look at them, I'm thinking, they seem to have an esteem problem, confidence issue. If they could fix that, when I see them, there's nothing wrong with them. And people tell them the same thing, but in their heads, no, that's not true. That is, I think that is pretty unfortunate.
No. When we come back, we'll discuss personality disorders where loneliness would be a feature. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. In our psychiatry series, we're discussing loneliness with Professor Andrew Law, a consultant psychiatrist. Earlier on, Professor, you spoke about some of the things that could lead to loneliness, depression being one, personality disorders, low self-esteem, people who are neglected, as you said, psychiatric conditions as well. But let's talk about personality disorders. What are the personality disorders where loneliness would be a feature, for an example?
For example, people with avoidant personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, or they might call that emotionally unstable personality disorder, and also dependent personality disorder. I think these are probably more prone to feel lonely.
In some instances, the loneliness arises from an altered perception of reality, as you mentioned just now. And I don't, you know, I don't feel good about the way I look. What about a personality disorder which would apply to that sort of altered perception of reality?
Okay.
Bipolar, perhaps?
No, bipolar is, I'm not aware of studies, you know, linking bipolar with
loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Whereas borderline personality disorder, they have usually very low self-esteem, and they also have the, you know, the constant fear and of being rejected by other people, and because usually those individuals, very sadly, they have a very traumatic childhood experience, so. As a result, they grow up to be people who have a lot of these emotional concerns, and that they really do not feel good about themselves.
And does loneliness sort of exacerbate the coexisting personality disorder?
It could. Like depression, I think it can actually, one drives the other and vice versa.
And so how would you address the aspect of loneliness in a personality disorder? Or do you just look after or treat the personality disorder and then the loneliness sort of just goes away? What do you treat?
I think I would treat the personality disorder. And as like I said before, with psychiatric conditions, if you treat that, I think the loneliness will look after itself.
And when you talk about the whole idea of the trends of social isolation and loneliness, I mean, you mentioned the elderly being one group that's very prone to that. Teenagers, you have mentioned. What about between men and women? Is there a link between how they feel as far as loneliness is concerned?
I was thinking that women would be more prone to feeling lonely, but I was totally wrong.
Why did you think that in the first place?
Because a number of, not being sexist or anything, but a number of psychiatric issues, for example, depression, the female gender is actually more prone to get these anxiety and depression issues.
Is it because of a hormonal makeup or...?
Not necessarily. There are a number of reasons. So I thought that with loneliness being could be a construct for depression, so I'm thinking maybe women would be more prone. But in fact, the most prevalent group of people feeling lonely is single men.
Right.
Yeah. Followed by...
So you thought wrong.
I thought, well, I can be wrong a lot of times.
Why the single man? Why not the single woman?
That I don't know. Mm-hmm. But epidemiology speaking, single men followed by married women are the more lonely people.
That's interesting. And we don't know why.
I don't know why. Okay. But I think there could be a number of speculations.
Which is?
I don't want to speculate.
You're such a killjoy. This is getting interesting. The single man and the married woman, the lonely people. That's very interesting. I'm going to have you back. I really want to know why. Do some research into it. You know, I think some answers will shed some light on the current state of our society. How well recognized do you think loneliness is amongst physicians, for an example?
I don't have a number for you, but again, I don't think it's very well recognized. The reason for me to say that is a lot of times, even depression is not very well recognized at all. It's not hard to diagnose depression, but is notoriously underdiagnosed.
And what is a good way to start? I mean, how will this awareness come about? I mean, okay, let's put the physicians aside. What about the ordinary person? Recognizing whether or not a family member or a colleague or a peer may possibly be depressed or even lonely. What are the symptoms?
Well, I would say, you know, in terms of depression, of course, you can observe the person having low mood, for example, losing interest in doing things that he or she usually enjoys doing, having trouble with the sleeping or the eating, you know, losing appetite. Some people might actually eat more than they usually do. They binge, you know, but usually they don't have a good appetite. They probably feel more hopeless and worthless and helpless. They have lower energy level. They have trouble concentrating in doing the daily things. These are some of the symptoms for depression.
For loneliness? That's a hard one, isn't it?
For loneliness? Well, they might present similarly if the loneliness is pathological. Otherwise, I think if the loneliness is transient, it's normal, then there shouldn't be any presentation per se. But if it's prolonged and if it's, like I said, pathological, then you might see some of the depressive symptoms.
What would be a good approach, a public health approach to addressing loneliness in order to keep at bay perhaps psychiatric burden on society and economies?
It's a difficult question because, you know, like I said, if loneliness is actually normal, why are we doing public health measures for this? It's only when it becomes an issue then we are actually not dealing with loneliness anymore.
So, you know, earlier on you spoke about how loneliness affects 80% of teenagers, 50% of the elderly. So does that mean it's not really a problem?
Yes. Okay, some of these studies, okay, I haven't read the studies. I don't know how they actually did them. And is it just involving asking the question, do you feel lonely? How often do you feel lonely? I'm not sure about that. But yes, if indeed 80% of teenagers and 50% of elderly, they feel lonely frequently, then there's probably an issue. And I would say that they perhaps should be evaluated for possible psychiatric condition or so mental health issues.
So do we see a psychologist? Do we see a psychiatrist?
Honestly, I think a GP should be equipped to handle, you know, bread and butter loneliness or depression. And even in medical school, we teach these things in family medicine and also in psychiatry. So by the time they come out, they should be able to handle these situations.
What is this method of approach that GPs should take?
It's unfortunate that a lot of times, because of the very busy schedule,
of the patient or the GP?
The GP.
Okay.
GP. And not enough time is being spent on getting to know the patient, I think. And sometimes, it depends on where you are. Some countries or some cities, when you go and see a doctor, what they do is just type in your information with basically very little or even no eye contact. If you don't even know who is sitting across from you, it's very difficult to pick up any kind of emotional concerns. Mm-hmm. I think if the doctor can be a little bit more vigilant, can actually have better eye contact, be more sincere. I'm not saying that they're not sincere, but sometimes
patients
perhaps,
open up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you can ask a very genuine, how are you, patient could open up more.
Yeah. And your message on loneliness, what would you like to leave us with?
I think if you are persistently feeling lonely, there is probably, most likely, an underlying mental health concern that should be addressed. And it is always important to address these concerns, because basically telling yourself that don't think about it or take a deep breath, it's not going to help, and it will probably get worse. So get treatment early. You know, it doesn't mean medication. I mean, it could be simple talk therapy, and that could help a big deal.
And as you went through earlier, symptoms of depression perhaps, which could be causing the loneliness, if you're losing interest, you have trouble sleeping, eating, feeling hopeless, worthlessness, helpless, low energy levels, your concentration is affected, then perhaps there's something you need to actually go and check out.
Yeah. And also, if the loneliness or the sadness that you're experiencing are actually causing you to think that life is not worth living, then I think very imminent help is definitely necessary.
Thank you very much for joining us. Professor Andrew Law, consultant psychiatrist, speaking to us about loneliness on our psychiatry series on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.